You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch and other Gedolim involved in enumerating mitzvahs of the Torah talk about Parshas Zachar. They point out that there are three different mitzvahs contained in this Parsha. Number one is a mitzvah of Zachar, to remember what Amalek did to us. That's a mitzvah's Aseh. There's a mitzvah lo saseh or lo sishchach, never to forget what happened in the past when it comes to our historical involvement with Amalekim. And the third, which is a mitzvah saseh, is the mitzvah mentioned inside the parsha, and that is timcha es zecha Amalek, mitachas ha-shemayim. So there's a mitzvah saseh of Zachar, a mitzvah lo saseh of lo sishchach, and another mitzvah say of timcha, of eradicating all of Amalekim that exist in this world, and any zecha of Amalekus that exists that we have the control upon to eradicate as well. It are these three mitzvahs that in actuality, the Rabbeinu Shalom put at the end of Pashas Kiseitze, according to a good group of Rishonim, there's a mitzvah deraisa, to read Pashas Zachar at least once a year. And even though it's not a Zman Grama, and that's one of the reasons the Noshim are Makpidos to hear Parshas Zachar besides the men, there are going to be other reasons I will be mentioning later on in my presentation this morning. But what I want to mention is that this Parshas Zachar itself, we traditionally read it the Shabbos before Purim, in order to make a connection between Parshas Zachar and the historical events that took place during the Yom Tov Purim, to show how the mitzvah of Timcha was actually done when it came to eradicating the Amalekim in the Persian Empire and getting rid of the Amalekim that were there who wanted to destroy us, including the biggest of the Amalekim, and that is Haman HaRasha, him and his children, eradicating them, being mocha them, as part of the observance of the keem of the mitzvah mentioned in Parshas Zachar. So because of what happened in Purim is an actuality, a keem of all the three mitzvahs mentioned in Parshas Kiseitze, our minig is to be soimich Parshas Kiseitze, the Parshas Zachar of that Parsha, the Shabbos before the Yom Tov Purim itself. I will mention today there are questions of whether or not we could be yotzei with Parshas B'Shalach, which also talks about eradication of Amalek, when we read it on the actual day of Purim itself. There are many poskim who say that since Parshas Zachar is not a Zman Grama on a Deraisa level, if I missed it during the time period of this year, like this past Shabbos, I would theoretically be able to be out to Parshas Zachar when we read Parshas Kiseitze in the end of the summertime and have in mind to be yotze with the mitzvah, and the Baal Kerush have in mind to be motzi, those who are not yotze in our Tekufa and the comes to before Purim could be yotze once a year by hearing the Torah read at the end of Parshas Kiseitze with the Baal Kerush as well as the audience having in mind to be yotze again for those who are not yotze now. So just be aware that we're dealing over here with a keem of mitzvahs deraisas. Before I get into the nitty-gritty of this parasha, I just want to mention there are many cholim out there who require a refuah shleimos, and therefore being mispalel that our learning today should be quite obviously a special segula for refuahs hanefesh, refuahs haguf, to all people who require a refuah shleima. Different people have different types of problems. Some have COVID problems. Some have surgical needs that have to be taken care of. So we should have in mind, each and every one of us who is listening to this, that whoever of your mishpacha members or friends require for shlema, have in mind in your heart that the learning today should be for the segula, for the refuah shlema, for all the chole amcha b'nei Yisrael. And we should bichlal always be mispalel for Chol B'nai Yisrael that they should undergo refuahs. But when we're reading this parsha, and the special segulas and Chodesh Adar for refuahs and shuas of Klal Yisrael, we should have that in mind as one of the purposes of learning today, to bring a special schus or refuas for Yeshua's to all members of Klai Yisrael that need refuas shleimos in our specific period of time throughout the world at large. Now, with that in mind, let's get into the parsha itself. The fact of the matter is, we have to understand something that is quite interesting and quite fascinating, because when you look at the parsha Zochar, at the Kiseitze, which says, Achar Asher Aslecha Amalek, we have to remember what Amalek did to us, B'derech Tzeis and Mitzrayim, when we left Egypt en route to Har Sinai, Asher Korcha B'derech, V'Zaynim Kadashom Acharecha, literally, they met us on our route to and are moving towards Har Sinai. They literally hurt those who were the weak ones amongst us. Unfortunately, the Amalekim are known to be totally not fearful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The proof is the whole world was shaking in their pants when they saw all the events of the Makos of Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, the Makos there, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and all of that, and when you read Oz Yosher, you're able to see and sense the trepidation and fear that engulfed the entire world upon hearing what Hashem did to save Klal Yisrael. And despite that fact, this nation, Amalek, who don't fear God, have no fear of God's omnipotence, are not concerned with God's supervision and control of the world, they attacked us, the Amhanivchar, after seeing us surrounded by miracles. After all, besides the Kriyas Yamsuf and besides the Makas and Mitzrayim, we had daily bread given to us from Shemayim An. We had water given to us in the Midbar by Iraq. We had an Ani Kavod surrounding us. So you have to be pretty much of a rejectionist of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on multiple levels to have the chutzpah and audacity to attack us at that point in time. And that's why it says, La Yara Elakim, they were not fearful of God. And the Rabban Hashem tells us, that when Klai Yisrael finally come into Eretz Israel and we get our own malucha, one of the three mitzvahs we have when we enter the land of Eretz Israel, besides the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash and the mitzvah of appointing a melech, the third mitzvah is the eradication of the Amalekim from the face of this earth. That's why Hashem says when you come into Eretz Israel, you should timcha zech Amalek, get rid of Amalek, mitachas Hashemayim lo tishlach, don't forget what happened in the past, so that you should act upon it on the present to protect yourself in the future. Now, from this pasha, it's quite apparent that the Rabban Hashem wants us to be proactive in the eradication of Amalek. It's quite obvious, because it says timcha, you got to get rid of these Amalekim. The big kasha everybody asks, the big problem everybody's faced with, is that when you look in Parshas Bishalach, which as I mentioned is the Kriyas HaTorah that we read on the actual day of Purim itself, and you look at the end of the Pasha which describes the actual attack that Amalek themselves did against us when we were going through the Midbar, so the Torah tells us that when it comes to that specific principle, when it comes to that specific yisod, please mute yourself, please. We're having background noise. There's no reason we should have it. The fact of the matter is, it says, Vayavo Amalek, Vayalachim Yisrael Berefidim. Amalek came and they made a war with us in Refidim. Moshe then told Yeshua, Vacha Nashim, and say, Lachim by Amalek. I want you to make a war with Amalek now, and I'm going to stand Bereish HaGiva. Yeshua did exactly what Moshe requested. He picked a very, very select group of special people from Klal Yisrael. Moshe prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, held his hands to Shemayim, and Aaron and V'chur were with him, helping him. And we find that when Moshe lifted his hands and Klal Yisrael did the Milchama L'Shem Shemayim, then Klal Yisrael were successful in defeating Amalek. We find that ultimately speaking, that the Torah tells us, Vayachlas Yeshua Samalek, Amalek Yicharev, that Yeshua did a partial job of weakening the power of Amalek. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam says something which I want to emphasize. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe k'sov zo zikaron b'sefer. I want you to record the following statement in a sefer, which means the Chumash itself. V'sim ba'ozlan Yeshua, ki macha emcha zech amalach mitachas yeshemayim. Hashem says, I'm going to eradicate the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. V'ivem Moshe mizbeach v'yikre shmo Hashem k'nisi. And it's of Yom Kiyot al Keska, that unfortunately Amalek represents the nations of the world, of the anti-Semitic Amalekim, trying to not only destroy Klal Yisrael, but try to make a Milchama, and try to destroy the God of Israel as well. Milchama la'shalom ba'amalek, but Hashem's Milchama with Amalek will exist till the end of time, when Hashem finally eradicates Amalek from the face of this earth. Now when you read this Pasha, the emphasis of Mechiyah, of destruction of Amalek, is placed in the hands of Hashem. It says, Ki macha emcha zech Amalek. Hashem says, I will eradicate Amalek. So the obvious question which is asked amongst all the Mefarshei Mikra, explain to us exactly how we can reconcile this seemingly contradiction. In Parshas B'Shalach, it seems that Hashem says, I'm going to eradicate. I'm going to mech Amalek. In Parsha Zachar, which we read on Shabbos Kodesh, there it says explicitly, as I just read before, it tells us, Timchazechas Amalek. You have to eradicate Amalek. So there seems to be a question, who is in charge of their eradication, their Mechiyah? Is it Klal Yisrael, or is it the Ribbono Shel Olam b'Chvedo b'Atzmai? This is a famous question asked by everyone, and the Masorah that I have from my dear Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, Zechut Tzadik Levracha, who has this Masorah from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zechut Tzadik Levracha, who has the Masorah going back to Rav Moshe's father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the famous Rav Chaim of Brisk, the founder of the Briska dynasty, that the Kabbalah that Rav Chaim said that he told his son, and his son told his son, that I got as one of the Talmidim of the Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, is that there is really no contradiction, because there are two different phenomena about Amalek that have to be dealt with. And each Parsha over here, Parshas B'Shalach, as well as Parshas Kisaitze, are dealing with two different dimensions of Amalek. When it comes to the physical threat that Amalek has demonstrated towards the Jewish people over the generations, we know for a fact, the Torah tells us, Halachi Yebedua, Esav Soni Es Yaakov, there's a sin of Esav Yaakov for eternity, till Hashem eradicates that sinner. And unfortunately, the Enikol Amalek and his progeny were the ones who felt the urgency to continue this erratic, incomprehensible sinner against and anti-Semitic feelings against the Jewish people for thousands of years. So when it comes to that specific phenomenon, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Zachar v'lo tishkach, I want you to realize that Esav's progeny, and especially Amalek, never got it out of their system, a desire to eradicate the Jewish people physically and spiritually. Physical genocide and spiritual genocide has always been part of the psyche, part of the personality of the Amalekim, who follow in the legacy of Esav. And if that's the case, there's a sin of Yidu which is incomprehensible. We can't put our finger upon it. But halacha Yidu, it's a halacha from Teirah Sinai, that Esav soni es Yaakov for eternity to the end of time. And if Esav was able to destroy Yaakov, he could have. Ultimately, he couldn't himself. But his progeny, the Amalekim, throughout the generations, the anti-Semitic Amalekim, have tried each and every generation to eradicate us one way or another. Now, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if you remember that, then you have to realize you're always in danger when it comes to the Amalekim. And if they're always a threat to you, we have a principle that Amalekim, therefore, on a certain halachic level, are really looked upon as being rodfim. They are pursuers of the Jewish people, to try to destroy us. They have no fear of God or trepidation from God, and therefore nothing stops them when they want to take their evil plans and destroy us. to try to implement it, despite what the history of the Jews has demonstrated in the past, to those in all the generations of thousands of years, or nations who wanted to destroy us. At the end, Hashem intervened, and He saved us, and allowed Klal Yisrael to continue, and destroyed those nations who were out to destroy Klal Yisrael. Despite that knowledge that, oh, Yarei Elokim, it doesn't matter. The sinner of Amalek for Klal Yisrael, sinema kalkelos Ashur, is something that's incomprehensible. People act in a very, very incomprehensible fashion, not fearful of any consequences, not looking at past history to learn a Musa Shmuz, not to do what they're doing. And therefore, if that's the case, the Rebbe Shem says, if you know that Amalek is a constant threat to you, they erode it for you, there's a halacha on the books, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Habol hagecha hashkin vahargo, that before a nation or nations or people who want to come to destroy you are able to take their master plan and bring it into fruition and try to destroy you, Habol hagecha, those who try to kill you, you have a chiyuv the rice of self-defense. Habol hagecha, those who come to kill you, hashkin vahargo, kill them first before they have a chance to kill you. It's called the din of rodef and niyadav. It's based upon Teru Shel Baal Peh, going back to Har Sinai. We don't need halacha l'masa bezdin to paskin and give us rishus or a melech or a novi or anybody else to give us permission for self-defense of ourselves as a person or self-defense of Klal Yisrael. It's a mechemes mitzvah as far as we're concerned. Any mechamed that Klal Yisrael defends itself against its enemies is defined by the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim as a Melchemes Mitzvah, and therefore the Melchemes Amalek against Amalekim, Bisman Hazeh, is still as much as a Melchemes Mitzvah as it was thousands of years ago, when Hashem commanded us Timcha. So Timcha is something that we have to do as Jews to defend ourselves, any way possibly, against the threat of anti-Semites who have a desire literally to destroy Klal Yisrael, Lahash Mahara Be Kola Yehudim, as is said in the Megillas Esther, to kill everybody, men, women, and children. We have a chiyuv halacha lamasa to be cognizant of that, to be aware of that, and therefore to make wars with them, if necessary, to defend ourselves and eradicate their threat to our existential existence, both on a physical level, spiritual level. This is a mitzvah deraisa l'dereis. And that's how it's codified by the Rambam, the Sefer Chinuch, and all the Mani HaMitzvahs. There's a mitzvah deraisa of Timcha. And Timcha means literally to eradicate them, eradicate their possessions, to wipe away Amalekis of the anti-Semitic world who threaten us in our daily existence as a person and as a people. But that's a mitzvah upon us, self-defense. The problem is that there's another tzar, and that's Pashas Ki Seitzei. Zoch v'al tishkach, Jews are Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim. Sometimes we forget, sometimes we unfortunately forgive too easily people who wanted to hurt us. The Rebbeinu Shem is remember, zachar, al tishkach, don't forget. Zoch with tishkach means not only we're not supposed to forget mentally, but zoch, we're supposed to articulate this, and therefore arousing us the desire to protect ourselves and realize who our enemies are, articulate it, tell it to the people, and therefore give them the desire to go out and defend ourselves appropriately, the way it's done in the world in the period of historical time in which we live. If we live in Eretz Israel and we are surrounded by people who want to destroy us, I will tell you that halacha lamasa, Rav Soloveitchik points out, another Kabbalah that goes back to the famous Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his Zayda, that today, how do we know who is an Amalek, who's not an Amalek? They don't walk around with signs. They don't walk around with a sign, I'm an Amaleki. How do we know that basically that the people that the Jews killed during Purim, when it came to the non-Jewish world who wanted to destroy us, how do we know that they were Amalekim? And when we read the Targum says all the thousands of people that were killed by the Jews in their self-defense, that were given permission to literally fight a war against them. Every time the Targum mentions, it says that we killed these Amalekim and these Amalekim, they weren't walking around with signs saying, I'm a member of the Amaleki party. So who's an Amaleki today? I mean, the genealogy of these people has been lost over the generations. So comes along Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and he's mechadish a tremendous chiddush in the Rambam, and he says Amalek itself is not only a genealogical phenomenon of people who can show a genealogical connection going back to the first Amalek and going back to Esav, but there's a concept of not only genealogical Amalekus, but there's a concept of ideological Amalekus. If you are ideologically, you are a person who, when it comes to your ideology, is convinced that your purpose on the face of this earth is to eradicate every man, woman, and child when it comes to the remnants of Klal Yisrael. If that's what your kavan is, literally to eradicate the Jewish people, you are not looked upon as just a haphazard personality. You're looked upon as an ideological Amaleki. And Rab Chaim was mechadish, the chiyuv of Zachar v'leisishkach and the mitzvah of Timcha applies not only to genealogical Amalekim, but it applies even to ideological Amalekim. And that's why Rav Soloveitchik, when he wrote his famous maimer, Kol Dodi Dofek, after the Holocaust, Rachmanu Litzlan said, as a Kabbalah from his father, going back to Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, Ultimer Chaim, that as far as they were concerned, the Nazis, Yamach Shemam, were the ideological Amalekim of their Tekufa. So the eradication of the German war machine was a keem of the mitzvah of Timcha Zeches Amalek. And unfortunately, says Rav Soloveitchik in Kol Dodi Dofek, that there are Yoshim, there are inheritors of the heritage of hatred for the Jewish people. And when the Germans were defeated and destroyed, the ones who took the mantle of leadership of Amalekis, ideological Amalekis in this world, are the members of the Arab world, the Mufti, the famous and infamous Mufti of Eretz Israel, the head of the Arab world. They basically, at the time of the Germans' desire to kill us, they literally worked with the Germans to try to facilitate the destruction of the Jewish people. And even after we had the destruction of the German infrastructure of its military by the success of winning World War II and the defeat of Germany and the destruction of the German war machine, Atha Pikain, the Arab world, Lo Yare Elokim, are not that fearful. They went on, and they still maintain this animus for us to this very day, the hatred of the Arab world in general, especially the Muslim world in general for the Jews, has not dissipated on the level that we would hope it would dissipate, and therefore there's still a terrible, terrible hatred for the Jewish people from anti-Semitic entities, and the Arab world personified this after the Germans were destroyed, and that's why we've had trouble from the Arab world ever since World War II had been completed. Hakama Samadina, basically speaking, we were able to see how all the members of the Arab world joined together in a united army of millions of soldiers to try to destroy the fledgling Medina when it took basically the permission from the UN to establish a Jewish homeland. And we established it, we declared it. All of a sudden we were attacked on all sides by the Arab world. They are ideological Amalekim, and therefore, according to Rav Soloveitchik, the mitzvah Zachar v'leisishkach and the mitzvah of Timcha apply to their war and the eradication of the Arabs who are trying to kill us from the face of this earth. That mitzvah derais applies ad hayom hazeh, and this is a very famous, famous Kabbalah that comes from the Briska world, going back to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, which I heard from his Einikel, who was my Rebbe of Soloveitchik, many, many, many years ago, and which Rav Soloveitchik wrote up later on in his famous maimer, his famous treatise called Kol Dodi Dofek, that's available in multiple languages, available in Hebrew, available in Yiddish, available in English. So the fact of the matter is, realize that the Timcha is still applicable today, when the IDF basically protects the Jews in Eretz Israel, Klal Yisrael, from Arab onslaught. Each time they're involved with this, they'll be Mekayim the Mitzvah, Timcha Zecher Samalek, Zochav Al Tishkach, be aware of this and be cognizant of this. That's the thrust of Pashas Ki Tzeitzei. And we read it before Purim, as I mentioned, to show that the Jews remembered it then. At that point in time, the Ephesemites of the Persian Empire became the ideological Amalekim. We know that Haman was not only ideological, but genealogical descendant of Amalek, but all the other anti-Semites there didn't have that genealogy. They just had an ideology. So therefore, the Jews remembered it, Zoch Val Tishkach, and when they were given the ability, they were Mekayim Timchazechas Amalek, when it comes to eradicating the Amalek of the Persian Empire and causing the Yom Tov of Purim to come into existence. Now, that is one dimension of Amalek. But the other dimension of Amalek is the fact that they have no fear of God, they have no trepidation from the Rabbeinu Shalom, they are the ultimate kafirim, the ultimate rejectionists of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I mentioned this and I alluded to this before, that after the Rabbeinu Shalom performed the Esa Makos in Mitzrayim, and it wasn't just Esa Makos, there are many more Makos which the Sefer we read, the Haggadah we read on the Yom Tov of Pesach, tells us how many Makos in actuality were used in the pressure on the Egyptian Empire in Mitzrayim. And then they witnessed the Kriyas Yamsuf and the destruction of the war machine of the most powerful nation on the face of this earth, the Egyptian Empire. And therefore, Klaus was saved and the Egyptian war machine were drowned and destroyed. After seeing all of those miracles, Az Yashir, which we sang at the foot of the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf and the salvation of Klal Yisrael, talked about the trepidation and fear that the nations of the world had when they see the omnipotence, the divine power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy the most powerful nations on the face of this earth that try to destroy the Jews, and God's changing natural law for the sake of causing Klal Yisrael to be able to exist and go onwards and to be able to survive and to fulfill our missions and promises made to us in the Bris Bein HaBasarim, going back to the Bris of the Avos of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Sefer Bereishis, in Parshas Lech Lecha. So, when all is said and done, well, all the other nations were still in trepidation, and the fact of the matter is, when we have Yeshua sending the Meraglim into Yericho, and they met Rachav HaZonah, and they asked her, what is the feeling of the people living in Canaan when it comes to the Jews? So she said the same trepidation and fear that the world had and they were seized with when they saw the miracles over 40 years ago when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim and all of that, they're still shaking in their pants, they're still fearful of the Jewish people because of what the God of Israel is able to do to defend and protect the Jewish people and do the mission impossible in allowing them to overcome all their adversaries and go forward in their mission on the face of this earth. Despite the whole world feeling that, there was only one nation that had the chutzpah that when we were on a trek, we were marching from the Midbar to Hasina to Mekabel the Torah to intervene and to try to attack us. And these were the Amalekim. Though that group of people that are portrayed as Lo Yarei Elokim, none of their fear that the rest of the world had for the Rabbeinu Shalom seemed to be feared by the Amalekim. And Chazal, if they want to compare this, where the whole world was fearful to start up with us, Chazal say Amalek was not fearful, they hated us so much, that Lila Sinema Kalkelas is Ashura, makes people do things that are incomprehensible, Halachi Abidua, Esav Sonias Yaakov, Amalek, we can't understand the amount of hatred and anti-Semitism they have, they're more concerned with destroying us than watching and trying to protect their children. They rather their children blow themselves up and destroy themselves to try to destroy a Jew. This is the hatred, the incredible hatred that they have for us. So Chazal said they compare what Amalek did in the Midbar to a person who wanted to fool other people. There was a burning hot mikvah, and in order to make other people go into the mikvah to hurt themselves, they were willing to jump into this hot mikvah even though they were burnt and hurt. They cooled it down in other people's eyes. Well, if they can go in, most probably we can go in. Amalek weakened some of the power of the fear and trepidation that Hashem wanted the world to be filled with when it came to seeing the omnipotence, the all-powerfulness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to Schav Onesh, when it comes to the protection of Klal Yisrael by attacking us in the Midbar, Yare Elokim, Afal Pi Kein, the Rabban Hashem told us that you have a way of overpowering the Amalekim, and therefore Hashem says the following. In your protection, in Pashas Kisaitse, Timcha, militarily, you got to do whatever you have to do to protect yourself, as Moshe told Yeshua to do at that point in time. What is the Mocha Emcha mean? So here is the mistake that we make. We think that we are such an intellectual society that we can make museums, we can make all different types of remembrances of the Holocaust, and think if we educate the world with Holocaust education and anti-Semitism and hatred, we'll eradicate the concept of Amalek and anti-Semitism from the face of this earth. How many museums were built when it comes around the world to commemorate the horrors of the Holocaust, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, or what the Nazis tried to do, not only to the Jews, but to other members of society as well? How many millions and millions of men, women, children were incinerated and destroyed because of the hatred of these crazy, maniacal individuals? And despite all the education, and despite all the proof of what they did, and despite that people are taken upon tours to see the concentration camps, there are movies that have been made upon this that are shown throughout the world. And we have museums upon museums with relics and all different types of items which have been taken from the concentration camps to remind the people the craziness of who Amalek is. The fact of the matter is, anti-Semitism today is chai v'kayim, is still very, very powerful. In fact, it's even more powerful today because the medium of the internet and the medium of multimedia today allows the sin and the hatred of the Amalekim to be spread more
you
easily
are listening
amongst the
to
face
Ben's
of the earth,
com.
Amongst different peoples on the face of this earth who are ignorant of who the Jews really are, really don't even know us. You're able to spread anti-Semitism and hatred for the Jews on a much more intense level now because of multimedia than you could do even at the time of Nazi Germany, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, where they also used multimedia to try to destroy the Jewish people and to dehumanize us in the eyes of the world at large. The fact of the matter is, there is an ideology of Amalek. There's a hashkaf of Amalek. And the Rabbi Hashem and Pashat B'Shalach says to Klal Yisrael, I want you to know something. When it comes to those individuals who are natural anti-Semites, who have been brought up as anti-Semites, it's in their blood, it's in their mind, it's in their heart, it's been ingrained in them from the time they were born into this world, it's part of their genetics, that this concept of hatred of the Jews is something that you, in fighting your wars, will not be able to eradicate. You as Jews, by making museums to try to commemorate the horrors of the Holocaust, will not be able to eradicate. The war of Milchama, of Amalek against the Jews, is not only against you, the people, the Jewish people, but it says in the term Pashat B'Shalach, Ki Yod Al Keska, the hands of Amalek are pointed to reject and to make war, even with the God of Israel, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Yod Al Keska, on the Kisei HaKavod, they want to make a milchama with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same way the Dor HaFlaga wanted to make a war with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they built that tower and they had all different types of missiles on the top of the tower to shoot it into heaven to make a milchama with Hashem. Amalek is trying throughout the generations, Ki Yod Al Keska, to eradicate not only the Jews, but the God of the Jews, to make a milchama with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no fear of God or trepidation of the ramifications. So Hashem says, if that's the case, Milchama Hashem Amalek L'dar V'dar, the eradication of the ultimate ideology of Amalek in their hatred of the Jews and the hatred of the Torah, and the hatred of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says you as human beings will not be able to eradicate that. For that you're going to require divine intervention on the highest, most intense level to literally get rid of all the Amalekim from the face of this earth, to shake them out of existence, to eradicate them in the entirety. Gog and Magog will be probably one of the consummate milchamas that was going to be fought to try to eradicate the Jews. In fact, there are three different milchamas, which Chazal said we have in Kabbalah, that Amalek is going to try to do to hurt the Jews, according to the famous Chafetz Chaim. World War I was part one of Milchamas Amalek, the concept of Gog and Magog. World War II was part two of the Gog and Magog, and the ultimate final confrontation with the Arabs and the anti-Semites at the end of time is Milchama number three, the third of the Milchamas, Gog and Magog. And we have promises in Tanakh and the Nevi'im that the Rabbeinu Hashem says these anti-Semites, these anti-HaKadosh Baruch Hu personalities will ultimately be eradicated from the face of this earth. They won't exist anymore. Hashem says when it comes to the ideology of Amalek, you don't have the ability to get rid of it with warfare. That I have to use my divine powers to eradicate it. Therefore, Mocho Emche, that's upon me to get rid of it. Realize I'm going to take care of eradicating by the time we come to Mashiach and the ultimate redemption. I will get rid of all anti-Semites from the face of this earth. I'll get rid of the ideology of Amalek and the personalities that represent the ideology of Amalek from the face of this earth. That is God's job. That's the Rabbeinu Shalom's job. That's the Pashas Mishalach. Mocha Emche, ki yadol ketzcha, milchama Hashem ba'amalek l'dar v'dar, mocha Emche. That's the Rabbeinu Shalom's mission. He'll eradicate Amalekis from the face of this earth. That Pasha refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's activities. We as Jews have to remember our achrayis is not the Mocha Emche, but the Timchem Pashas Kiseitzei, as we fulfilled it when it came to the ultimate Yontav of Purim. We took on our adversaries and we eradicated them, Habola Gehashkin Vahadigo. So therefore the Pashas are not contradicting. They're basically complementary, dealing with two dimensions of Amalek. The physical threat to our existence is the Tincha in Pasha Zach and Kiseitzei. That we as Jews have to do. We have to fight the battle. When it comes to eradicating the ideology and the hatred and the anti-Semitism in the face of this universe, for the face of this earth, that is not something we as human beings are capable of doing. That the Rabbeinu Shalom, b'chvoido u'b'atzmo, promises us in Pasha B'Shalach, ki mocho v'emche, I will personally eradicate the Amalekim when it comes to their ideology from the face of this earth at the time of the ultimate coming of the Mashiach and the ultimate success of the Melchemes Gog Magog and the ultimate development of the world with a new type of existence amongst people on the face of this earth. Well, peace will reign, will be shalom. There'll be shalom between the Jews and the non-Jewish world, a different type of world entirely. The Shibat Malchus will be eradicated, as the Rambam describes at the end of Hilchus Malachim, when he describes the ramifications of the ultimate redemption, Geula, from the time of Mashiach to the end of time. We won't have adversaries like that anymore. We won't have to worry about fighting milchamis and wars against our adversaries. The world itself will have economic freedom to be able to earn a living, and it'll be widespread amongst all the peoples of the world. You won't have animus, you won't have wars taking place. The Pasuk says, you won't have people fighting wars anymore, it'll be a peace of shalom. People will have plenty of time to make panasa, plenty of time to study the words of God. The non-Jewish world, the B'nai Noach, will study those texts and those makaros that relate to their relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore be able to become closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a B'nai Noach level, and Klaus will have our ability to develop our intimacy and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our spiritual plane, based upon our Mekarish, Torah Shebiksav, and Torah Shebaalpeh. It's going to be a different type of existence. But to get there, to get to that final Tekufa, the part of our physical defense, Timcha, is our responsibility to cause an entire metamorphosis in human society, that the world itself will be a different place, a place of shalom and bracha, a place of people coexisting, a place of love, of avat habriyot. All of that with avat Hashem and yirat Hashem u'kedome, and having respect for every human being. This is something that the Rabbeinu Shalom will orchestrate b'chvodo u'b'yatzmo. Moch emcha zech Amalek, I will eradicate that. Chazal say that the kisi hakavod of Hashem's recognition, the malchus of Hashem being the only melech, the only God that exists, this is something Hashem will cause to happen at the time of the ultimate redemption in Geula, and I'll eradicate all the entities on the face of this earth who want to prevent that phenomenon from taking place. Save Davar, the whole world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Echad, Shema Echad, Shema Yisrael, listen, Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Kiva said before he was killed by the terrible Romans who had tremendous anti-Semitic feelings for the Jews. They were the Amalekim, they were the Edomites, they were the Bnei Esav at that time. They hated Jews and Judaism and the God of the Jews. And what Rav Kiva said before he passed away as one of the Asarim Malchus, he said to his Talmidim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Listen to me, my Talmidim. Do not give up hope. Do not literally lose your faith. Now, Hashem Elokeinu, we as the Jews recognize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Hashem Elokeinu. But there's going to come a time, Rabbi Kiva says, Hashem Echad, that the whole world will recognize at the end of time, through the agency of the Rabbeinu Shalom, Hashem Echad, there's only one God in this world, one God of the universe who created the universe, Yeshviyayim. There's only one God who controls all the events that take place in the entire universe in which we exist. Hashem is Mechadish V'chol Yom Tov Ma'aseh Bereishis. The whole world, the whole existence of the universe depends upon Hashem's Ratzon HaTov. And if that's the case, the Rabbanu Shel Olam will make sure in that Tekufa that his Mechi will take place. There'll be no longer any need for Holocaust museums, Holocaust education, or anti-Semitic concerns. The whole world will be freed from the fetters of anti-Semitic belief and concepts. Amalekis will disappear. And the ultimate concept of the concept of Hashem Echad, of the world recognizing who the Rabbeinu Shalom is, and what Klal Yisrael represents as God chose a piece of the Am Segula, the Am HaNivchar, and that the Torah is the only divine treatise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing as a New Testament, an Old Testament. There's only one Testament. The Torah Hashem gave us at Har Sinai, the Chamish Echum She Torah, the Sifrei Hanach, the Torah Shel Baal Peh. That's going to be recognized by the world as the only documents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are to be studied and analyzed at the end of time, as the Rambam describes very beautifully at the end of Hilchos Malachim. If that's the case, Talmidim Talmidites, we have to realize that we're living in a very interesting tekufa, a very historical tekufa. Baruch Hashem, we are zocha to see the beginning of the redemption taking place. The concept of Kibbutz Galus has already begun. How many millions of Jews, Baruch Hashem, are now living in an Eretz Israel, an Eretz Israel that is one of the most successful countries on the face of this earth, when it comes to its capacities on an economic level, on a scientific, technological level, on a medical level. Eretz Yisrael is one of the most sophisticated countries when it comes to using the Chokhmah Ma'aseh Bereishis that Hashem created in Bria and bringing all types of technology when it comes to medical technology and other scientific technology that helps the world advance itself and go forward and become more technologically savvy in making the lives of people easier and to save people's lives in all different types of ways. The Eretz has been the leader when it comes to giving this information to the world at large. They are an Or LaGoyim, not only when it comes to religious concepts and precepts, that the whole world realizes the might of God in keeping the Jews alive and saving Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael against incredible adversaries who had incredible weaponry, and it was impossible to even think. Rabbi Admiati, we would see that miracle again in our period of time, but we saw it with all the wars that Klal Yisrael fought from 1948 up until the present. The hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu watching over us, having America, one of the most powerful nations on the face of the earth, the most powerful, befriending the Jewish people ultimately, and helping us and being mechazek us, and giving us the weaponry and giving us part of the weapons that we need to defend ourselves against our adversaries. Chazal point out, when you see the leading heads of the world give the Jews the ability to defend themselves, and ultimately speaking, being able to have the capacity to have our self-defense and protect us, and allow the country to grow and the country to survive, both on a physical level and a spiritual level. Chazal point out in the Medrash, this is a simin, that the Mashiach is around the corner, that the Mashiach is on the way. Chazal point this out, it's brought down in a Midrashim that they bring down, which mention the fact that in world history, the Jews were never up until our Tekufa able to defend themselves against the adversaries we had around the world, and now we're capable. The Medrash says when you see that happening, that the Goyim give us the ability to do such, and what we do, interesting enough, I saw with my own eyes, that we might get fancy types of machinery, planes and other things from America, from the advanced weaponry. What the Jews in Israel do is they take that weaponry and take the software and technological expertise they have and raise these instruments of war even to a higher level, even to a more sophisticated level, to be able to defend Klal Yisrael against our adversaries that surround us on all sides. This is an open miracle of the Yad Hashem controlling the events that take place in this world. They try to destroy us. They try to eradicate. They try to scheme against the Jewish people. But they have not, and they will never be able to succeed. Hashem promised us in the Bris Bein HaBesarim that despite what you see happening to you, Klal Yisrael is indestructible. That's the promise number one given the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Promise number two, Klal Yisrael will survive l'mayla miderech hateva, against natural law on every level, not only militarily, but geopolitically and physically and otherwise. Your existence will not be able to be explained or understood, b'derech hateva. Ultimately, Klal Yisrael will be the ones who are going to inherit all of Eretz Yisrael, all the parts of Eretz Yisrael promised to us in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, not only the parts of the seven nations of the ten, but we're going to have at the end of time all 10 parts of Eretz Israel mentioned in Pashas Lech Lecha, as the Ramban explains in his Perish to the Sefer HaMitzvahs. We're living in a very historical Tekufa. Don't give up. Don't be despondent. At the end of the day, it's not Washington, D.C. or the Democrats or the President who will control the future of the Jewish people or Eretz Israel or Klal Yisrael. At the end of the day, the Rebbeinu Shlom controls Leib Melachim Yad Hashem. He controls the hearts and minds of the kings and leaders of the face of this earth. Hashem has brought us, with the past president we had, to a very unique darga when it comes to establishing Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael and the ultimate Yerushalayim as being the ultimate capital of the Jewish people in Eretzeinu HaKadosha. We've seen slowly but surely even our adversaries, some of them doing tshuva, some of them wanting to make peace with us, as we've seen the last couple of months with the Abraham Accords, which Trump started. This is the Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind the scenes, slowly but surely setting the stage for the ultimate redemption to take place. Let's hope and pray, as we're about to celebrate the Yom Tov HaPurim, that we'll remember the Musa Shmuz that the Rabbeinu Shem gives us when we read Megillas Esther. As impossible as the situation was, that we had the entire Persian Empire, that was the biggest empire in the face of this earth, geared together under the leadership, unfortunately, of Haman HaRosh and Achashverosh, who was also an anti-Semite, to eradicate the Jewish people with total genocide, it was a mission impossible. It was an impossible phenomenon. What did Klal Yisrael do? We came together, we prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we did tshuva, and by doing the tshuva and coming back and bringing Jews together, we ultimately speaking were able to be zeuch that Hashem would give us siyata d'shmaya to literally overcome our adversaries. V'napachu, overnight, the dream that the Goyim had to destroy us ended up working the opposite. They did not destroy us. We ended up with Hashem's help, even in a case of a Nes Nister, of us being able to destroy them. An incredible miracle. And upon the completion of the Nes of Purim, the powers that were given to the Jews, to Mordechai and to Esther, and to other Jewish leaders, It was Persia who then gave us the ability to return to Eretz Israel and to rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash and to be able to establish the Jewish homeland once again. We see that the Ribono Shel Olam works in very, very unusual ways. The Malucha that wanted to destroy us, all of a sudden, Napachu, Hashem controls the heartstrings of the rulers, and all of a sudden they became the most friendly, supportive nation, was the most powerful nation when it came to Jewish affairs. That's why there was a special picture of Shushan Abira on the eastern gate going into the Temple Mount as a Hakara, Satov Chazal say, to the Persians to say, we recognize that what you did to help us to return and to rebuild Eretz Israel and to rebuild in particular the Makom HaMikdash. We're living in historical times. And I want to finish with one thing. Going back to the question I mentioned before, why is it that I said the women are Chayim and Pasha Zachar? After all, some Kadolim say the purpose of Pasha Zachar and Lo Sishkach is that we should then be Timcha, we should fight a war against our adversaries. So some Poskim wanted to say, if that's the case, since women normally don't fight wars, they're not involved in active military duty, they might do work behind the scenes, but they're not involved in military conflict. If they're not going to do the mechi of the war, they shouldn't be chayiv in zachar and leisishkach. And some minor poskin did poskin that the women don't have to hear pasha zachar. But the overwhelming majority of gedolei ha-poskin poskin that we do have pasha zachar read for men and for women alike. This is brought down by the gedolim throughout the generations. The Chasam Seif, all the gedolim mention the minig of having Noshim come to hear Pasha Zoch as well as men. But the obvious question is, if they're not going to be involved in the Milchama, the Timcha, what's the purpose of the Zohar that they have to read? How does Pashas Amalek relate to them? So the answer given by the Sefer Mitras Chinuch and others is a very beautiful answer. At the end of time, even after we have the Amalekim eradicated from the face of this earth, Mocha Timcha, we're still going to have a mitzvah, the rice of Tayyak mitzvahs, to read Pasha Zachar. But what's the purpose of reading it? We no longer have a mitzvah of Timcha that's applicable because Hashem took care of it. Not only Timcha, but Macha Emcha. So the answer they give is, it's important for us to remember why Amalek has the ability to sometimes attack the Jews. It says when it came to Pasha B'Shalach, the Jews came to Rephidim, and in Rephidim they were attacked by Amalek. What's so special about Rephidim? So Chazal say in Torah Shu'apeh, Rephidim stands for, as an acronym, Rafa Yudei Medivrei Torah. When the Jews have a lackadaisical attitude, and they reject the Torah, and they reject observance of the Torah, and they reject the Rabbeinu Shalom and the leadership, the Torah leadership of Klal Yisrael, that gives a momentary power to Amalek, for them to take the chutzpah and other to try to attack us and destroy us. It weakens us spiritually, and it weakens the ability for us to be protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the level that Hashem promised. The purpose of reading Pasuk Zoch at the end of time of Zocha is to remember what were the Averos that made us susceptible to the potential genocide of the time of Purim. What happened? In that time, Chazal said, Jews bore mishtachva to the Tzelem, to idols. So we had Jews over there being nene from Suda v'Achashverosh, and having Hana on a Suda that represented the destruction of the temple and no longer the rebuilding of the temple of the future. We had Jews involved in anti-Jewish hatred amongst themselves. One of the critiques which Achashverosh was told by Haman, the Jews hate each other, so you want them to be members of your specific kingdom. There's anti-Semitism amongst Jews amongst themselves. Klal Yisrael, when they did all these things, weakened their hand and gave the Amalekim of Persia at that time the ability to attempt to destroy us. What did Esther, Malkah, and Mordechai do? Kenais Kulay Yehudim. They have to realize that we can weaken Amalek and strengthen ourselves if we do tshuva on all the averes we committed when it comes to having the hana from the Suda of Achashverosh and not believing in the ultimate redemption and rebuilding of Klal Yisrael Eretz Yisrael and Beis HaMikdash. We did tshuva on the concept of bowing down to idols and living in idolatrous society and being susceptible to that. we were basically, it says, Pinos Kol Yehudim, Achdus. Klai Yisrael once again experienced the Achdus of Har Sinai, Ki Ish Echad, Ubalev Echad, Kinos Kol Yehudim. Jews have to love each other, be concerned for each other, and take the concern for the health and welfare of all Jews around the world, no matter where they're holding, when it comes to the religious service and practice. We have to Mekarev Achenu B'nei Yisrael. We have to have Avas Eretz Klal Yisrael. What caused the Churban Bayis Sheni was Sinas Chinom. The Gedolim point, the Kapara for Churban Bayis Sheni is not Sinas Chinom, but Avas Chinom. Loving everybody, unconditionally, being a kind of Jews back to Klal Yisrael, being a kind of the people of the world back to the belief in only one God. That's the activity of what Zach is all about. Remember who the Rabbeinu Shalom is. Remember that you are Yare Elokim. Remember your Tachlis as being the Am Anivcha, the Am Segula, and Arla Goyim. That's why we read the Megillas Esther. That's why we read Parshas Zachar. That's why we read Parshas B'Shalach. For Jews to be yotz the mitzvah of Parshas Zachar, the Parsha that talks about our activities, the Parsha that talks about our involvement, is halach lamasa pasha zacha. We're involved in the timcha. We're mocha. We erase, not only by physical warfare, but by hashkafa. We erase the hashkafas of the world from impacting upon a hashkafa of Torah, hashkafa of Yahadus, contained in the Tayag mitzvahs. Therefore, coming to the Yontav of Purim, the Zman of Simcha, the Zman of joy, of geula, of redemption, let's take this to heart and realize that we have the ability to experience another Purim, an Ar Tikufa, a Purim in which we are able to have total salvation from all our adversaries, even in a Tikufa of a Nes Nister, even in a Tikufa Rabbi Isai, of Hester Barim, a Tikufa of Lai Zachu, Hashem will still redeem us and watch us and fulfill all the promises He promised in the Torah in order that there should be a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, that when Hashem makes a promise to His Aman Yivchar, He ultimately keeps it at the end of time. We're now holding in that Tekufra Talmidim Talmidas. Take this to heart, spread the message. The Mashiach's around the corner. We can bring the Mashiach. We have to do the proper tshuvos, the proper karevus of ourselves to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And if Rabbeinu Shalom sees we do this B'Leib Shalom, He'll send us Mashiach Tzidkenu with our geula, our redemption. We'll be zocheh not only for Timcha, but the Mocha Emcha, and we will be zocheh to see what Rabbi Kiva said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We'll see the Tekufa, Hashem Echad, of Hashem being known and recognized by the world universally as the only God to worship. And the Pasuk, which says that the Beis HaMikdash will be the Beis Elokim, that everybody will come to pray at. It will be the Mokum, the Bais, everybody comes as the only place on the face of this earth to worship God on a monotheistic level. It's the Beis HaMikdash that everybody's going to run to, and they're going to participate in our celebration of the Yontav HaSukkos, coming and participating when it comes to prayers to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Should we see Zaycha B'Mehremen to see these Nisim for Niflaus, wishing everybody a wonderful Simchas Yomtiv with Simcha and Baruch. Avos Yisrael is one of the major functionalities, the Achdus of Sudas Purim and Matanis Lev Yoinim, and the concept of Shalach Manis is to bring us all together and unite us with love and compassion for one another. This is what's going to cause Avas Achinim for the ultimate Gula. We shall be Zaycha for all the Refuas the Yeshuas Hashem promised at the end of time.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.